G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by the brand new Mazda BT50 coming soon. Today on the pod, it's the 2-minute warning for the bye week before finals. If you haven't subscribed, do us a favour and hit that button, leave us a review as well and give us a rating. 5 stars. All right, get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined by Xavier Ellis and Ryan Daniels. What's going on, boys?
Well, can I ask Nick, first of all, where have you been?
Because this is a good question.
Young Josh Gallup sitting behind there.
Yeah. Super producer Josh Gallup here in studio.
An outstanding fill-in couple of weeks. Where have you been?
I was in Broome for one of them.
You look tanned.
Oh. I was just slightly browner.
Oh, no, I was joking.
I don't get brown. I don't go Irish and Scottish. I don't go brown.
You look browner than I would anyway.
Yeah, it's just rubbing the Irish bog on me. I was in Broome for a week. And then last week, we shifted around a little bit and it just didn't work. I got a couple of meetings and stuff.
No, but what about the previous 6 weeks before then?
Yeah, I was around. They were just shit takes.
Oh, no. Are you too busy? You're too big for us.
We got it sorted now. Look, we're back on. Josh is coming on and doing great things for us. We had started the week, obviously, with Chris Robinson, the new Monday Mad Scramble, doing the news. Dill Buckley, we're pretty excited to have him on board. You and Zave on the you and Dill, Zave, on the Tuesday. You guys are relatively tight now, aren't you? You didn't know each other playing, though.
Nah. Didn't know each other till, I don't know, it's 6 months ago.
Yeah, right. And now?
Oh, mate, now. I'm just hanging out of the dags out of his arse.
A couple of years ago, you would have picked the new media talent out of the out of his Xavier Ellis and Dylan Buckley. So I had a week in Broome and then, last week just was timing didn't really work. But we're back now.
All right. What about you, Ryan, up on the – oh, you go, mate.
But it's good up here. It's been a bit quiet since West Coast left, which is not a bad thing because, it was pretty hectic. I'm starting to see a lot more of the media types around now. You asked me last week who I was having a beer with and who I was.
Yeah, who's the in group?
I wouldn't say there's an in group. Very much lone wolf style approach from all the journos here. Everyone
like them
gets
at school.
A bit
real accidental lone wolf stuff in the schoolyard.
Yeah, it's all standoff, very standoffish, but everyone's been nice so far.
Yeah. Have you had a beer with anyone of note?
Right. Jeez. Nah. Who do you want me to have a beer with? Is there someone I should be targeting? Is you going to give me a goal for the next week to have a beer with somebody?
Yeah, I want you to sit down with Gil.
Well, he's in a bubble. I can't get to Gil.
Okay, you can't get to him.
Gil's still in the bubble.
Gil's in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's still an AFL bubble where they're basically operating like a club where they can go out but they can do only certain things, whereas some people are fully out of the bubble.
Yeah, you're
so
fully out.
I think Damien Barrett's in the bubble with Gil and there's a few other AFL officials.
Have you picked up a footy at a press conference and looked like a flog yet?
No. I've heeded your warning. Don't pick up the footy.
Good.
It's I've made sure I've steered clear of footballs.
Because, again, everyone's laughing at you. As much as you and your three cronies might think you're hitting a nice one on the left, you're not.
Yeah. Can we briefly talk about – I don't know if we covered this a couple of weeks ago. Did you see the Vision on Seven's footy coverage of Tom Brown in the ocean? Like,
no.
Floating around. It didn't sit very well with me. Like,
I didn't see it. What happened?
Oh, so this was like he got papped by his own company.
Yeah, I think so. he was sort of frolicking around in the ocean a little bit, and I just felt bad for him because he wouldn't have known that was happening. And it was, unless you're a football player, no one looks fantastic coming in and out of the ocean.
Yeah, you don't want to be caught in the ocean while all the footballers are there in a hub.
No,
too. Like that's all the vision that's going around.
But also, in fairness to Tom Brown, and I know everyone is working hard or whatever. I reckon Tom Brown would rarely have time. Like he would be chasing stories as much as anybody, I'd imagine.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Anyway, there's a throwing in the bone.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through 2 minutes from top of the ladder down this week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the ladder, so you boys are going to have to do that.
Ladder here, Nick's got he's bought something in the last.
I'm all over him. Yeah,
it's probably the ladder from round 14 or something. He's probably
2012
hasn't updated his ladder.
So we go top down. The teams are in finals, give us a realistic shot at the flag, and then the others will just, swear to from here for those guys. All right. So let's start with Port Adelaide. And that's me. First of all, congratulations, Jack Watts. He's got far more time now for swimming and other pursuits.
What are the other pursuits?
Look, I don't know. I'll leave that one open to interpretation.
I think it was not long after his little off sort of period in his life happened that Simo called me a poor man's version of Jack Watts. That was a spray, and it was footy related.
So Port finished top of the ladder. They're still across the board. They're still about fourth in the betting, I think, across most of the agencies.
Yep.
So what is that? I see them as in it up to their eyeballs only because every time this season we've gone, oh, Port can't win this one, or Port will come back to the field. They haven't. There's nothing really like you pick a couple of things about why they would win the flag, but like – comes back to because they keep winning.
Yeah, I just think it's proven that, going into this season, there was one coach we all thought was going to get sacked. Going into this season, we thought there was one team that definitely was, had signs of, were they going to have the second year Blues? I think we had so many thoughts why potentially they were going to be no good, that you keep drawing back on those thoughts, even though they were 18 weeks ago now, that we thought that they were going to battle and Hinkley would be sacked. I don't know. Can they win the flag? Yes, of course they can. I still reckon that they're such a reliant, not on Travis Boak, but the next two, Wines and Rockcliffe.
Yeah.
For mine, I reckon their midfield's pretty weak, but then it's at the level if those two, like Wines, is playing like the Ollie Wines that I think some clubs rate him as.
I think the way that they're final series is starting to sort of map out. They got Geelong this week. They have struggled against the Cats. They've got potentially after that, if they lose to the Cats, it'll be West Coast or Collingwood. Now, West Coast, we know, have a pretty good record against Port Adelaide over there. So my doubts are more about how it's playing out.
Brisbane.
I've got Brisbane Lions, and we're speaking about this guy. Firstly, go around, can Brisbane win the flag, Nick?
Yep.
Rhino?
Yes, of course.
I think it's pretty obvious. We're still at the top.
Were you just smiling and nodding on a podcast?
No, in answer to
a question.
He was a bit bewildered that I even spun it. Okay. Well, my concern, and we say it every time, we spoke about last year, Charlie Cameron, small forward. Is a small forward good enough to be your leading forward? Eric Hipwood's had 13 games where he's kicked one goal or zero goals this year in a shortened season, 13. Mm. That's what makes me nervous, Eric Hipwood. Do we think that it's on Eric Hipwood's shoulders, or he's just a part of the team and he's just a player and that's just what he is, or is Eric Hipwood a make or breaker?
It's on Eric Hipwood's shoulders, or it's on someone else to step up and have a Shane Allen type moment in finals. So Charlie can't do it all. Is it, the big O? Does the big O bob up and kick two or three in a game? Is it somebody else who steps up and kicks a couple? But it can't just be on Charlie. Now, Brisbane would probably love if it were Eric Hipwood, because it's an opportunity for him to have a coming of age final series. And recently we've seen some signs. He's just trending upwards a little bit. Mm. But it can't all be on Charlie. If we were just picking one weak spot as to why they couldn't win it, and we said it for 2 years, that's the reason why. He needs help. But maybe it doesn't have to be Eric.
Yeah, and the reports this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, you called this early last year.
I called this last year early. Joe Danaher is the player Brisbane should, and there's still a good chance of winning the flag without him.
Yeah.
But we scouted and said the team that needs Joe Danaher the most is Brisbane Lions.
And now, look where he's sniffing around.
But it might be a bad fit now in terms of you've invested another year in Eric Hipwood.
Yeah, but Eric Hipwood's never going to, fill out. He's just one of those guys that's never going to – he's filled out more than Eric Hipwood.
But Eric Hipwood is a young poor man's best version of Danaher. You know what I mean? They don't both fit in that team.
No.
Yeah. So interesting to see what happens. If I was Essendon, I'd be asking for Hipwood in return.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, Richmond.
I've got Richmond. So did you see Dusty on the weekend had 28 disposals after a period that went 17-11, I think it was, or 14.
He's the only player September October.
Well, here we go. We've rolled in. The sun's come out. Do you reckon Dimmer was not hiding Dusty because his game time and stuff was still quite high, but do you reckon Dimmer was just saying, we're going well, we're going to make the finals. This year probably doesn't matter too much top four in terms of you're not going to be going to Perth for a prelim or anything like that. Do you reckon Dimmer's just unleashed Dusty? And what do they do with Tom Lynch? Is it too late now to go back to that old game style of five small forwards around Jack Riewoldt? Or how are they going to sort that out?
Yeah. Well, he's coming back in.
Yeah, he's confidently come back in too. And I'm always worried about secondary hamstrings and all that sort of stuff. So, all right, leave Lynch out of it. What are you expecting from Dusty this finals campaign?
Well, they have – it's probably to an extent they've been hiding him. He's insane, mate. We're winning. We're going okay. Mm. Like, take a half step back. Let these other kids have a crack. Like, Shay Bolton. Whether I just saw a Daniel Rioli video. Shay? What? Yeah. Shay or Shy?
Shay. I call him Shay.
I think it's Shay.
We're going with we've been calling him Shy.
I think it's Shay. We should ask him. There's a video going around with Daniel Rioli. I think it's Shay. Anyway.
So what's the video of?
Daniel Rioli, you're saying it's Shay, not Shy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But is it a stitch-up?
Oh, so they're just trying to get...
Yeah, it sounds stupid, but they're not always right either. Like, what was the Chris Marston and Masto thing? They all called him Masto for years. His name's Marston. Yeah. Players don't always have it right. It just sticks sometimes. Yeah. Can I just say, I reckon Dusty has a switch.
Yeah,
and I don't know if he has the switch or if Damien Hardwick has the switch, but
there's
somebody
a switch
flicks
somewhere.
It.
Yeah.
And it's been flicked.
And the greats have that switch. He more than – I can't even think of another one who's been able to switch it on and off whenever he wants as well as Dusty and get away with it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Geelong. It's me again. So you've probably got them just behind Richmond in terms of like pecking order for the flag at the moment. Hawkins big September, right? Is that what we're thinking?
Has to
if they're going to win it.
Oh, he has to be the best player of the finals by a mile.
What do you think? We're doing this Thursday early. The MVP stuff hasn't done, but I saw they just started rolling out the. Do you expect him to poll? You've been big on the.
He'll win it. He should win it.
Yeah, but he's not going to, is he?
Number one for goals. Number one for goal assists. Number one for score involvement. I don't know where he sits in contested marks, but he's number one in the competition in the last decade. Mate, we look at the games and some games are kicking one goal to half time, and he's the number one. Midfielders are a dime a dozen. Lockie Neal should win the Brownlow by a million miles. And if he wins the MVP, you're not going to be like, well, that's not right.
Well, MVP has done that in the past. I think Nick Riewoldt won a couple.
Right, Riewoldt's won one. Ablett's won one. Dunstall's won one. Carey's won one. Lockett's won one. Like the forwards win them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Hawkins
did
is in that category.
Did Treadray win one?
Nah. But I'm not saying he's in that category, Hawkins. Don't get me wrong. But I just feel in a year where that no one's scoring, he's stood out like no one else.
Yeah. Just separately to that. Go.
The winner has to come from one of those two players. I can't think of a third player.
No,
like if it's not Hawk, it's going to be Lockie Neal.
And Lockie Neal is $1.30 favourite for it.
Yeah.
But I just think that you're getting your natural votes just for finding the footy.
Just quick one. If you're Geelong, do you take Higgins or Brad Croucher next year if you had a choice between the two?
Brad Crouch for longevity. Sean Higgins will be 33.
Yeah, but they still got it.
In terms of for 1 year – and we're going, Sean Higgins is one of the classiest players in the competition.
Yeah, this is, and I think they're in that. They're kind of in there every year's a 1 year for Geelong at the moment, isn't it?
which in the end, and you speak to someone like Joel Selwood who says, I absolutely love that the club keeps throwing the ball to stumps because you don't get old when you're at the top of the table.
West Coast,
I am extremely nervous about the first final over here.
Really?
It's got the hallmark of the Western Bulldogs, West Coast 2016. Where West Coast are raging favourites, which they are. Elliot Yeo's out. I went back through the game where they won by 66 points early in the year. Collingwood had more inside 50s, won contested disposals, had less turnovers. The difference was marks, 86 to 60. They just controlled the football and they kicked 18 goals three. I've never seen them straight. I'm just thinking 66 points is not what it seems. They've got a lot of players that are going to come in, and I don't know whether that upsets the flow and the form a little bit. What do you reckon, Rhino?
I disagree. I reckon the reason we saw what happened when they got back from Queensland the last time was because they can't play their game plan here. As soon as they get home, everything clicks. And that game was a perfect example of, as you say, they dominated marks, they dominated the clearance work with Nick Nat, and they kick straight. That's what they do best. They're almost like this sort of sitting on the edges of their seat, desperate to get back to that. As soon as they can, they play it almost to perfection. So I think what's going to happen is they're gonna destroy Collingwood.
You reckon? Oh, man, I don't see it.
Yeah. I don't know how much further they can go after that, but I think they'll beat Collingwood handily because that game plan is just built for Optus and it's built for WA weather. That's just how it is. It's different over here.
Yeah, no, but I'm also, it was the game that Scott Pendlebury pulled out in the warm-up. There was a lot of things that just – it was Grundy was shit-ass. Grundy was absolutely – that was where the baton went from Grundy to Nick Nat in terms of All-Australian, what Nick did to Grundy. Don't get me wrong, I am so hopeful they win because I reckon it's such an even year, hence why I'm also saying it's such an even year. I don't think Collingwood are going to be that far off, and with Dugowie back and Pendlebury, they had some big outs as well.
We time that, Will. It's running. All right. St Kilda.
St Kilda? Yeah, that's me. Okay, if you had to bet your life, if we're talking Cinderella stories, you know, can you win it outside the four or whatever, if you had to bet your life on either St Kilda or the Western Bulldogs being the 2020 chaos ball, COVID ball premier, who would you be picking?
St Kilda.
Bulldogs.
Why?
Okay, Bulldogs, been there, done that before. I think the Bulldogs midfield is far better than St Kilda's, even though St Kilda, Jack Steele, incredible, still underrated. They've yet to do it in finals, any of them bar. As a group, they've obviously, Hannes has played in finals, Brad Hill's played in finals, et cetera, et cetera. I just think McRae, Bontz, Lockie Hunter's been outstanding since he's played this season. I just think that their midfield potential is probably too strong, to be honest with you. I don't know. They play a similar game style. It'd be a good final.
Yeah, that's probably one of the best ones that's coming up, isn't it?
Like, it'll be a cracker.
You look at that first week.
I'm not going. So, Nick,
why do you think St Kilda, Nick?
I feel like throughout the course of the year, Western Bulldogs have been the flakiest side, and the ones where they have had to turn up and they just haven't completely. Whereas I don't know. I don't have all the numbers here, but I don't remember any with St Kilda where they're a result when you're like, oh, I was expecting a lot better from them.
West Coast.
Yeah, what do they get?
They had them on the got to have them absolutely on their knees.
Yeah.
But
that's going to happen with young teams, isn't it? Like not like, you know, you probably expect like game. Not
Bulldogs are way flaky.
That's what I just think. They would be flaky. Who you got?
And there's probably a good point.
I'd probably take the Bulldogs, and that stat. I think the flaky thing is a misconception. I saw the other day they've basically beaten everybody below them and lost to everyone above them. They're pretty much the most predictable side.
Yeah, they've lost by 10, 12 goals in games that have been embarrassing. And
they had the misfortune of just being so bad in round one, and then everyone had 3 months to think about it.
Yeah, but they doubled down a couple more times, they were really bad in quite a few other games. Like they were, when West Coast were bad at the start, the Bulldogs were shining a light on themselves about how bad they were. Yeah. Like it was incredible.
And if those two wives are about to drop a kid, like Easton Wood and Josh Bruce could go at any second.
No, I don't think.
You'd be out of the hub, wouldn't you?
No, I don't think Easton's yet. I think he's still a while away.
Well, Beveridge said that they look very pregnant on the scale.
No, I don't think they are.
Collingwood,
we've got them coming.
No, Collingwood, no, Western Bulldogs.
Speaking of the Bulldogs?
Yeah,
Western Bulldogs.
Yeah. So regardless of what we think about the Bulldogs' chances this year, they're kind of playing with house money. And we've talked about Jamari Ugal-Hagan a fair few times this year. He's going to be the number one draft pick. They obviously won't get the number one pick. What do they finish? Sort of sixth, seventh around that mark. They should have pick, 12, something like that off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So they're going to jump to the top of the list in terms of the draft. Now, this kid, he's going to be pretty special if you read all the accounts. Mm. The Buddy Franklin comparisons are there. Oh, and how's this quote? When he was asked about Buddy, he said, "Buddy Franklin is setting a mark for me to beat." The confidence.
Who is this kid?
The
sounds like a knob. I've had enough of this. Kids coming into the system who are compared to greats.
Who did you get compared to?
Joel Corey. Who's a bloody champ. One of my favourite players of all time. But when kids come in, and there's one from Perth. Who was it from Perth that played and was like the next Buddy Franklin?
Oh, Logan McDonald.
No. This kid played for 2 years and got delisted. But it happens all the time. And to say that he's sitting, like, good on him, rah, rah, rah. bravo, bravo. Mate, you're just putting pressure on yourself that you don't need to have. And if you're not kicking 100 in your second year or third year, what's happened?
But is the pressure going to be as, like, this is a Western Bulldogs thing. Like, is the pressure going to be as bad? Yeah, the Western Bulldogs, you, like, you're never going to cop it.
Matt Rau, how good's Matt Rau been just by going about his business? Like, tuck my shirt in, let's just go to business, let's get it all
tuck
done.
Tuck the shirt in was a bit of flair. That was a big move.
Do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever heard Matt Rau say anything that you turn your eyebrows up at? You're like, nah. Coming in and saying you're chasing Buddy Franklin and I'm going to be the next Buddy Franklin.
Mark to beat.
If you aren't kicking bags, you are going to just get absolutely smashed and smashed by the opposition as well. Like, as if they're going to let that fly.
Collingwood. I've got Collingwood. I don't have it. So I'm surprised you say that you think this is such a danger game for West Coast. I don't really have them in it. Like, they just sort of made it in the end. Didn't make it easy for themselves. They scraped in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They're playing WA and then they either has to go to – Is this right? They play the loser of Port Adelaide, Brisbane.
Yep.
Yeah, so they Port Adelaide, Geelong. The other day, yeah.
Oh, Port Adelaide, Geelong. Sorry, yeah. So they either have to go and play Geelong or they go to Adelaide and play Port Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. It's just a tough – like, it's a hard road.
Oh, they're eighth. And it's a
shame. And they're eighth and they're done.
I get that. But I just think they've got a week to come over. They're over here now in quarantine or
tomorrow. No, they fly tomorrow. Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So, but it's 30 degrees here. They've been in Queensland for how long now?
Yeah, I wonder. So it is real hot over here. I wonder if that's going to hold.
No, but they've been in Queensland since day dot where it's been
hot. It's pretty warm over here.
It's still hot though. Like, it's still hot.
Yeah, it's actually probably more draining.
It's a night game.
It's a dry heat in Perth. It's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, the heat's not an excuse. The travel's not an excuse. They've done a week here. They're going to get their players back.
Here's my issue. Mason Cox played a little bit too well on the weekend. That's my concern. We had that moment where he took a mark and everyone got extremely excited.
Oh, man.
And he's had the week before where he kicked a couple of goals. I don't, like, as much as they get excited when he plays well, I don't think that he's the best option for them. I think it's a bit of a false sense of security having Mason Cox taking a couple of marks and kicking a couple of goals.
Especially,
I think it's working into the Eagles' favour.
Especially if Gov won't play, which is a blessing for Collingwood because they'll play Mason Cox. And if Gov gets Mason Cox, there's never a greater show of disrespect from Gov. Like, you know, he's just going to try and zone off on everything. Mason Cox, if he beats you, he beats you. Too good.
All right, now we're into the also-ran, starting with the ultimate also-ran, Melbourne.
Melbourne, Petrarca, best and fairest. Has he been the best player in the comp this year in terms of where he started to where he finished? The greatest leap in...
most improved, yeah.
Most improved, like, player.
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
Easily. I can't. I mean, I
think someone went from nothing to
second,
like,
to go through. Yeah.
But it's top of your head.
And also from going from a position where, as a number one pick, the pressure's been on him for a long
time.
Should have been number one. Number two. It was really tough for him at the start. He came off that knee, I think, in his draft year. It's taken a really long time to get here, but he's one of these guys that makes us remember every now and then that sometimes these blokes at the top, they need time and patience. He's exploded. He's a lock for all Australian. He's won their BNF. Hopefully there's another level for him to go to.
But that's my next question.
It's fantastic.
Will he go into the Fife, Dusty category? I'm trying to think who else would be in there.
He needs Melbourne to rise with him a little bit.
Yeah, he needs to carry him a little bit further, I reckon.
But he's close. He's not on the door.
He's close. He's definitely heading there. And last one, Harley Bunnell, what happens there? What's the situation? And are you surprised?
I think he's going to be done.
Yeah.
I think he was borderline anyway. Yeah. I know there was talk that he was going to sign. I'm not sure there was 100% contract on the table. I think this is probably... going to end him, which is, you know, unfortunate. A lot of talent there, but there won't be a fourth chance.
No, can't be. No way in the world. What an absolute cock up.
How is it Jared Harbour had to call? Like, he's knocking on his door. He's like, mate, I've got to call. No, you can't come in. And, like, I've got to call this in.
Yeah.
What happened?
He was knocking on Jared Harbour's door trying to get in. Harbour was still, like,
to
in
Harbour's
the bubble.
House.
Yeah, yeah. Harbour was still in the bubble. He said, I can't let you in, mate. Like,
Harbour had to dob him in. Basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rough.
Put the thing down. GWS. Can't believe they didn't make
it.
Oh mate, don't.
I know, it's amazing.
Isn't it?
If you're listening to the rumors around today. Braden Pruce is out of Melbourne and GWS have already been mentioned as a potential suitor. We've kind of been calling this for years.
I'm amazed
he's not going, going to Collingwood to play behind Brody Grundy.
And then more Nick Nat. Braden Pruce, I wouldn't even take a chance at that anymore. I don't know how many games he played.
GWS just need someone.
No, I get that, but they can't just keep going with just have someone. They just had someone in Mumford. They just had someone in Jacobs. Bruce has not played football for God knows how long now, intermittently, and tried as a forward. They just can't keep doing that, GWS. And I think Bruce, whoever advised him to go sit behind bloody Gorn, it was ridiculous.
Must have got paid. He must have got paid big time.
Why would Melbourne maybe chase
him? You reckon you could have a 10-year career of just being the number two ruckman and never playing? So people think he'll be good if the first one gets injured.
Well, you scored annuity payments. You don't sign contracts, you sign annuities, which is the payment you get at the end of your career. And Daniel Curry was the greatest annuity player of all time. And he played 10 years, 8 games or something like that. Incredible. Hey, do we overrate these players? Aiden Corr has been spoken of as though he is the answer. And so Zach Williams as well.
Zach Williams.
Hold off on Zach Williams.
No, he's not very, very, very good. He's not. He could possibly be. He's not. He's played all year and didn't fire a shot. He played midfield last year when they were bone thin and played really well.
Time out on Zach Williams.
Aiden Corr then. Aiden Corr.
He's an all right defender.
But they're speaking the race for Aiden Corr is heating up. Who's involved in the race for Aiden Corr?
Very Irish name. I was surprised. I thought he was an Irish import for a while.
I thought he was 32. He's only 26.
So did I. I thought he was a 30-year-old Irishman.
Carlton. I assume we're going in on that.
Oh, here we go. So, Zach Williams.
Sorry, mate.
So, does he move the needle for Carlton? He's clearly not worth 850 grand good a year piece, if you believe though. The money that's being talked about. Yeah. He's a good player. He's dynamic. But does he move the needle? Does he get them from, 11th up to 6th, 7th, 8th?
I think great piece for their mid. One, they don't – something they don't have.
Yeah, but he's never played mid, so how are you?
He has played mid. He's played
for
last
year. Yeah, for a handful of games. How are you throwing 850,000 a bloke who's played a handful of games?
How do they have 850?
I don't know, but that's also a big part of the salary cap. That's more of the issue. Is what happens? What's to say that
he can't be 850, right? He can't be.
Is that what's reported, Rhino? That's what's reported.
That's what's being reported. But you can always add about 50 to 100 grand on that, because often what it is 850 is the maximum.
If they
maybe there's five or six incentives in there. It would probably be 850 if he's all Australian and top three in the BNF or something. It's probably closer to 650, 700. But there'd be a lot of incentives tied in.
Look, I think he could be at the level of your mate who went there this year from Gold Coast. Yep. But I don't think it's
Jack Martin.
I don't think Jack Martin's getting Carlton to the next level. Jack Martin would be a fantastic piece in. Can you imagine Jack Martin playing at Port Adelaide at the moment or something like that? He'd be a great piece in a good team. The Brisbane Lions.
He's still kind of in that forward line. They need him to be the man. It's probably not best.
Can I ask before we finish up, David Teague? His contract's got a six month payout clause. Are you still feeling good about the Teague train, or should they get off?
Nah, I feel good enough.
Oh, I'm not.
But
feeling
what about all those run offs? Five goals, eight, nine times they've had five goals kicked against them in a run. That can't be good. That's not good coaching,
mate. Zach Williams played 11 games this year, and the last he had over 24 times. There's 13, 16, 13, 13, 18, 15, 9. I mean, that's not 850,000 worth.
Fremantle.
That's me. Matt Tabiner, just a little tip of the cap, All-Australian squad. It gets named tonight. I don't think he's going to be in the team, but that's still a bloody good lesson in patience and perseverance. Mm. A lot of people got off the Tabiner train a long time ago, but Ross, to his credit, stuck with him. They've stuck with him this year, and he's paying off. He's a bloody good player.
He kept pointing out, I think Ross would always point out, second round rookie pick, we're not relying on him. We're just keeping him on the list.
The only thing, and you look at the players who North Melbourne delisted, there was 11 of them who were 11. Mm. Apart from a couple, there are a lot of non-triers. Matt Tabiner is the ultimate trier. When it's his day, it looks good. When it's not his day, he's still working his ass off. He's still competing. He's still trying. Whereas some players turn their toes. He's the ultimate, I'm gonna come off the ground with absolutely no fuel left. And if it's good, it's good. If it's not,
yeah.
And this year it was more good than not. And I think fantastic
season. I like what's behind it from a sports science perspective, where they just said, because he kept getting foot stuff. They just said, okay, well, you train half as much as the others, yeah. and then you do this other stuff. Yeah. Like that's a smart decision.
So talking about
not fun for Tabman, I'd been on a bike half.
Well, you're right, but it's what you got to do to get through 2 hours of football. Have you got any other stuff for Freo, mate? Because I've got something to bring up.
Nah, you go.
So what do they do with Pearce and Hamling? Mm. So much money there, zero games. You got Jesse Hogan with big cash as well.
Has Pearce ever performed on a contract year, or has he been injured on a contract?
No, but I think he's always had that potential. No, I think he has, because he was voted in leadership groups and all that sort of stuff. So there's always been this, but like their best case, they play. But when does Peter Bell go, we're not playing him for best case anymore? Yeah. Brennan Cox has stood up. Well, Luke Ryan stood up.
I was going to say, Brennan Cox, Griffin Logue, Luke Ryan all had moments this year where you were like, okay, they're going to be really good, solid AFL defenders. So you've almost got, if everyone's healthy, it's really hard to pick that back line next year. Like, who are you squeezing out? Yeah. So it's an interesting question.
Well, Hamlin's got like one more year, I think. Maybe it's a decision on him.
Yeah, okay.
Essendon.
Essendon, young Ridley walks away with the best and fairest.
Yeah, how good.
Crazy. I thought Zach Merritt probably would have won it by a fair bit. And they keep saying Zach Merritt's not going anywhere. Just watch this space.
Oi, oi.
Anyway, but
just dropping news or just
but there is one player sources. Who has been bandied around about leaving. Adam Saad, future second round pick from the Gold Coast a little while ago. Adam Saad, every single football club needs an Adam Saad. West Coast tag Adam Saad every single time they play. What's he worth? And where Essendon stand, like, is it worth just flicking him off for something because they need to bring kids in? Or is Adam Saad
Do they know that they're in that situation though? Like, do you reckon they accept that they're in that situation where they need to bring kids in?
Well, good point. Yeah, surely they have to now. Surely. Oh, even though Wisher said the rebound's going to happen so quickly or something, I don't think it is. But what are you getting for Adam Saad? Because I reckon every single club craves someone who can just make it up. A little bit like a Zach Williams.
You look at the market of recent years and you sit at the table, go two first rounders and see what they come back with.
Yeah. So
that's your starting point.
Yeah, I reckon you'd end up with
one.
I'd take early second or late first.
Yeah.
I think that's probably about right for Saad. We're in, Rhino.
Yeah, it's probably right. I mean, as you say, he's one of those players that if you're a good team, you have an Adam Saad.
Yeah.
I think the thing is with Essendon, I think you hit the nail on the head, Nick. I don't think they think that they
are
the type of club that should be moving Adam Saad. They're just going
to
bring more guys in. They're not doing what North Melbourne's doing, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
They're going to go the other way. They're going to double down. They're going to get more sort of semi-experienced guys in. They'll throw the kitchen sink at Jeremy Cameron. They'll do all those kinds of things that they probably shouldn't be doing just to try to top up and just get that next step. But we all know that next step, it never comes.
No.
It just doesn't come. But they think they're so close. And when they've done the Scheel and the Smith and all this stuff, it's almost like they've backed themselves into a corner.
Yeah.
Gold Coast.
Gold Coast, obviously the video of it, mate of mine, Stewie Jew, came out. And what's the story behind that, Rhino? Pissing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an old video from 2 or 3 years ago. They were at a function, I believe, a club function, and someone videoed him pissing against a wall outside the establishment.
Well, it must have been the footy manager, John Haynes, because he copped a fine too.
Yeah, so I think it was his video or some...
So it was years ago.
It was bad.
It was years ago. Okay.
It was years ago.
Right.
And someone who was basically like, is the thinking that someone who got cut had it on their phone just decided to flick it around just to had a bit of a chip?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I don't know where it popped up from, but those things that they never quite go away.
They're there to pop up. Now, well, the one thing I do want to talk about, Gold Coast have got so much young talent. I think we all agree they're going to the right place. King, Raoul, all of them.
Sexy Seven.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Sexy Seven.
So they need to land a big fish. And are they now appealing enough for the big fish to come?
Well, the big fish have been sitting there on the Gold Coast for a while and walking around.
So like a Jeremy Cameron, for example, we're talking about Essendon or whatever. Is a big fish like a Jeremy Cameron who can go, I'll be the man forward while King grows and just goes at his own pace?
Imagine if they got Jeremy Cameron.
But
I love that.
They have to have a big fish somewhere to come. I don't know who it is.
Yeah. But I think you're right. I mean, we've started to see like Brandon Ellis wanted to go there.
But they're not big fish. I know, like
Hugh Greenwood's no, not, it's, not yeah, a big fish. They're not big stars. That's the first step.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. So, yeah. Like, you know, they land the Ablett, but that was paying over to the AFL fund and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That was, I reckon Version there's one. Enough momentum and excitement and the lifestyle of the Gold Coast. You've been there. I reckon they need a big fish for reputation reasons.
Who are the other
well.
Biggest free agents here at the moment?
I don't know. I just reckon they need a Jeremy Cameron or something. They don't need it, but like
I'd love them to do the buddy. This guy's going to Carlton. Someone, this guy's going to Carlton. Oh, sign with Gold Coast.
Yeah, like, something what? Like that. They need a. Well, I don't need to. It would be great to see them land a big fish and then makes them really relevant again. And last one, would you rather be Gold Coast or GWS?
Gold Coast.
Yeah, I can't believe that's the answer. Far out.
Hawthorne. I've got Hawthorne. Speculation today, think Tom Morris at Fox Sports, that the Pies have asked a question about Gunston. So they've cleared a few of the decks. Do you do the deal and get Gunston to the Pies, clear the decks, and what do you get, what do you ask for in return? Keep in mind, he's 28 years old, 31 goals this year in 16 games.
I think it'd be pretty easy. Yeah, Rhino.
I'd love Collingwood to get Gunston. That makes a shit ton of sense for them, and it makes a lot of sense for Hawthorne just to trade a guy who has not peak value, but he has way more value than most of the guys they're willing to trade. So you might actually get something in return. You definitely get at least Collingwood's first round pick. You could probably ask for something else on the back of that. I'd love that trade for both teams. Will Hawthorne do it? That's probably one more for X because you understand the thinking a little bit there. I don't think they would, but it makes sense.
I think where there's smoke, there's fire. I didn't read Tom Morris's thing, but I reckon Clarko's obviously looking to make moves. It's obvious he's looked at it. He would have sat through and gone, this is absolutely shit house. We need to go one or two giant steps back to then launch forward. Collingwood would be good with a Jack Gunston, someone who they can who can do the leading, one might check and do the bashing and crashing, and then we're not talking about Mason Cox. He still would generate a first-round draft pick. I think that'd be fair. But would they be able to get one of the pieces out of the midfield? I know I'm saying that Hawthorne need to go with kids, so they probably wouldn't
they
want to.
They want to.
But like Collingwood have got so much depth through their midfield.
Oh, you go yeah, there's probably one that Collingwood would be willing to.
A Treloar, Adams, Pendlebury, Sidebottom, obviously Grundy's in there. They've got a lot of money locked into those mids. If they can get off one of them and empty the books a little bit, because they've got issues with DeGoey, all those sort of guys that still Darcy Moore. Maybe it's a little bit of we're probably going to lose in terms of quality of play. Gunston's a gun.
Who out of those
champion.
Would you ship?
Would they ship Treloar?
Yeah, probably. Well, that's what I was thinking. Adam
I don't think they. I don't think they'd ship any of them. I think Collingwood's doing this studs and duds sort of style thing where they've got 12 elite, highly paid players, and then they're just trying to cover the edges with the other
studs
guys.
And studs. I haven't heard that term in ages. Studs and duds.
Studs and duds.
Love it. Sydney. Ah. Me him. Pick three. So Sydney in a position now where they just keep going to the draft, or do they have a dip and try to get a bit, few more mature mids through, or like what's the? Nah. I don't know. Where do you see Sydney?
I think
show signs.
Okay, first Rhino. I think Parker's still young enough to be an elite midfielder. Yep. I think Kennedy just never gets old, and he's always going to be that big body to help the kids. Mm. I think there's no better time to bring in a number three draft pick midfielder. To one, learn off the champions that are still there.
Like, you go to mid? You reckon the mid's the next?
I think they need a high-end midfielder. Robottom and those guys have shown good signs.
Dylan Stevens is a good kick.
Is he?
Yeah,
they just need that you know, that player that when you make a grand final in 5 years, 6 years' time, that's the $4 favourite for the Norm Smith. They're just that really good, classy midfielder that's going to get you the stats.
What if Logan McDonald's still on the board?
No.
Yeah, see, that's what I would do. I think their biggest issue going forward, we've seen Robottom. Parker's still young. We've seen Robottom. We've seen McInerney shown a fair bit. Mills and Ahini, they're probably not going to be midfielders permanently, but they've shown enough. Your man Dylan Stevens, as you just said, Nick, I like him. I think their biggest issue going forward is and Blakey's probably more of a midfielder than anything.
Yeah,
I think their biggest issue is going to be the key position guys. And Blakey could be their main man within 3 years. He could be there almost as good as a Bont. Like, he could be that type of player. Yeah. He's that good.
So you're saying
I think
all in on midfield on him.
And you just need a forward to
compliment. I think you can build around Blakey, Robottom, having Parker still there, having McInerney, having a bit of Mills and Heaney in there. I reckon you've almost got enough.
Yeah.
But you need that key position A-grade key position. Now, they're also going to get There's a guy, I can't remember his name, Nick, you won't remember, one of their academy kids. He's supposed to go top 10. And he's got a weird cheap.
He's got a lot of vowels in his name.
Yeah, they're going to get him cheap as well. So they're going to get another top 10 midfielder anyway without having to take him at pick 3 or 4, whichever they land, depending on the NGA stuff. If so you're saying they're going to fall ass backwards into it again.
If you're saying Blakey mid, then number 3, not a 4. Yep. But like, there was what it was a 12 months ago, we're saying he's the most exciting forward prospect in the competition.
North Melbourne.
That's me. So, 6 months ago, Ben Brown's getting offered a 3-year contract at $750,000 a year from North, and now he's been told, hey, mate, you're better off looking elsewhere. We don't really need you anymore, and we don't want to pay you that much. Yeah. Is this the biggest slide you can remember in a contract year for a player who, a year ago, this guy was competing for Coleman medals. He was really good at doing one thing, which was leading and kicking. That was his one thing. Mm. This is a stunning fall from grace. And the other question is, where should he go? Who should be putting their hand up for Ben Brown?
I think too, there's so many stories about the player who has one season out of the box and signs the big contract. Like, they get lucky on this contract year. He's got unlucky on the contract year. Mm. I just think the way the game's going, the defense, the way teams fight back, that's why I reckon Hawkins has been so outstanding, because he's typically was a lead-up sort of player out of the goal square, but now wrestles. Like, they're... Brown's a big play, just doesn't do it. I think now I like that the North said openly find a new club, because players do it. Players through their managers put out.
Well, North are finally doing what we've been wanting them to do for years.
Brady Rulings,
they're finally doing what Essendon should be
doing. This is Brady Rulings' first crack at the list, isn't it?
Yeah, first go at it. And I think, again, Brisbane maybe, if they're talking about they're right in the window. Maybe a Sydney if they want to try and get him. We're talking about they need a key. Maybe they try and get him and then add a talent through the draft.
Do you know who's going to do it? You know who's going to do it?
Carlton.
Here we go.
The big saviour.
But Essendon written all over it.
Top four throw at the stumps. Yeah, no, that probably is, isn't it? Like, I'm trying to think of the other ones around the mark. I don't know.
Gold Coast potentially, but I'm not completely off Ben Brown. I'm just putting it out there.
You wouldn't want to be a forward in that system this year.
Wouldn't want to be a forward in that system. Longer quarters again. They're going to go back to longer quarters. He's a worker. Like, he's got really good endurance. Like, you've got to remember that
he could end up being a bargain. This could be a massive bargain. I think so.
I'd say more of a bargain than anything else.
All right, I think we're down to Adelaide, which is me. So they've got an interesting choice to make coming up. So they got the number one pick as it stands. Yep. But the consensus at the moment is the best player in the country is an academy player. Do you bid to make Western Bulldogs pay number one odds for Jamara Ugle-Hagan, knowing that that then costs your number one pick money and the idea that he was always the number two and they really wanted the first guy? Like, what do you do in that situation?
No. You've got to do it. You've got to do it.
Who's
got to
make a player? Who's the best
player? Jamara Ugle-Hagan at this
stage. He's the best player in the comp?
That's what, we don't know because they didn't play all this year, but they're still looking at number one.
That's what you do. Whoever the best player is, you just go, that's who I'm selecting. If these stupid rules around academies and zones and free hits and trading in 55 fifth-round draft picks to equal the first-round draft pick steps in the way, stiff bickies, it's got to go anyway. That's got to be fixed.
And it's a competition. You've got to use every single chance you have to hurt your opposition. Now, this is a chance to make the Bulldogs pay for what they're getting.
Yep.
So force it. Because in 5 years' time, you might be competing with the Bulldogs for a flag, and you want to know that you made them pay top dollar for the guy that is supposed to be the next Buddy Franklin.
He's meant to be better than Buddy Franklin, isn't he? That's what he says.
Correct. We set him a goal. Yeah.
I like that, by the way. I love it.
I just worry.
So that'd be the highest. I think Callum Mills was the previous highest. Was he 3 or 2? Mills was 3.
Yeah, Mills went 3, I think.
So he'd be pretty high.
I
don't mind that because also you take the pressure off your bloke too. Like, if you still, he was the best one you were going to get and he's not the number one. And we might have lost Rhino. No, he's back.
He's back. No, I agree.
I had a call.
No, you're right, though.
Was that Gil?
Yeah. He wants a beer. He wants to catch up for a beer.
So does he officially go number one? He does, doesn't he?
He would go number one, yeah. That's us done.
Beautiful.
And look at that. Is that SD card filling up nicely?
Oh, we've got an hour left.
Oh, look at this. Look at it. We go right to the line, mate. This is like when you haven't got fuel for a couple of days, your light's been on.
This is what you you've got a professional on the buttons.
He knows exactly.
Unlike your shit show you used to run, Nick.
I know, look at this. Since we've handed over to Josh, we're just going leaps and bounds right now. So Rhino, what's the rest of the week look like for you in the hub?
Well, it's big night tonight, all Australian.
Oh yeah, so it's all digital. It's all just like there's no ceremony really, is there?
Nah, it's nothing. It's just announcements on Fox, and I guess they'll cross to some people in their rooms or whatever. It's all going to be very quick. It's like the BNFs now. You don't even see them. They just pop up on Twitter. You're like, oh, it's Melbourne's BNF.
So
like,
did Melbourne sit there and do it in a room, or did they just go?
They sat there in a room and did it, I think.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly before we do go, Rising Star, Rhino, start with you. Who wins it?
Sarong.
Nick?
Yeah, Sarong.
Yeah, Sarong for me. But he was really
I think he's closer with Anderson than a lot of people.
Sarong didn't very play close. The first
4-3.
And then had not over 10 disposals, I reckon his first three or four as well.
Yeah, a real good finish.
His first seven or something were almost a scratching.
Put it this way. So I might have had a little bit of a taste on Sarong quite a few weeks ago. And I went the other day just to think about maybe hedging on Noah Anderson. Yeah. You can't even do that anymore.
What's Noah
Anderson? You can't bet on the Rising Star the last few days. So you can't hedge your Noah Anderson bet. Yeah, well, not on the
is that betting establishment David King? That I'm
with. It's funny because I think I've mentioned it, how Noah Anderson was my turn to do the syndicate bet for M's brothers. And And Noah Anderson had 15 or 17 disposals at halftime. So I backed him to win the Rising Star at $17. By the end of the game, he was into $5.50. I just cashed out as a winner within a half a game of football. So
easy money, easy money.
Oh yeah, you're right though. It's going to be. I'm trying to see where the sports bettor got him up. I can't find them. But you're right. It is.
It's not on there.
No, it's gone.
Yeah.
And sorry, MVP.
MVP. Well, it's going to be Lachie Neale.
I think it should be Tom Hawkins, but I think it will be Lachie Neale.
Yeah, I like the Tom Hawkins ones too. But like, this is coming down to. There's been so much football on so many different days. Like, I don't expect all the players to have watched as many games. Oh, I don't know.
They're sitting in a hub doing nothing. So surely.
So maybe
they
watch more. Maybe this will be the most accurate MVP we've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, I've always thought this about the MVP. The top 15 or 20 football people who watch it would know.
Yeah.
The bottom 10 who don't watch AFL at all would just be like, oh, this Lachie Neale's pretty good. You know, and just give Lachie Neale the vote because they've seen the Brownlow markets and
I'm
all
gonna
the
look,
talk.
They were started that's, the countdown. That's the
fault.
Was eight.
That's the fault with that kind of system because not all players watch footy. Like it sounds dumb, but they just don't. Like you have some footy heads that watch every game. You have a bunch of guys who don't watch any other game other than their own.
Yeah,
that's why the whole players voting thing is a bit of a shaky system.
So they've started the countdown on Twitter. 10th was Fife.
Yeah.
9th was Charlie Dixon.
That's a surprise for me.
Yeah, Nick Nat, 8th. Dusty 7th. See, Dusty's hasn't.
See, there you go, there's one. That's your bottom 15 players who haven't watched a whole lot of.
They're just like Dusty.
Just vote for Dusty.
We'll give Dusty a couple of ones or something. You know, like when you're going, and because he's so exciting and a superstar and a megastar, you're like, I don't know. Yep. Shit, Dusty would have been good, I guess.
Yeah.
If I don't know anyone else, I'll vote for Dusty.
And it's all Australian tonight too as well, isn't it? Australian Rising Star, MVP. I like this. Bang, go, like, you know, whip out most of them in the one go.
Absolutely.
All right, boys, thanks for coming in. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. Join us again on Monday for the Mad Scramble with Chris Robinson. This has been the Hardball Gets AFL show with thanks to the brand new Mazda BT50 coming soon. And we'll see you next time.